Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Nice to meet you, Dave. I don't believe
I don't think we have, yeah.
I used to work with your wife at AMV.
Oh, did you? Everybody seems to have worked with my wife.
Yes, I used to work with Kirsty at AMV in the late 80s and the early 90s.
But wow.
I've known Pa for many, many years.
Where are you now, Don? Are you in town or out of town? Or?
So I live in Hove. Yeah, I moved out of London about 9 years ago now, and I love it. So I'm very, very content by the sea.
And how are the people of Brighton adopting to the rules? Are they wearing masks and gloves? And
yeah, there's, I mean, I am not a mask wearer. I know this is one of your questions, so maybe I won't elaborate too much on that.
No, tell us. There's a lot of
people. I actually walked past somebody yesterday and I was like, oh, for God's sake. It was like he was going welding. I mean, I get the fear, but it's like, if you're that scared, don't go out. Don't go out looking like a dick. He stopped as I sort of approached him. He's like, well, you are masked up and wearing gloves, so you're not going to catch anything from me. But also because I was sort of walking quite slowly, kept sort of tutting. It's like, oh, for goodness sake. So people are social distancing and behaving. I'm getting very hacked off with the Daily Mail because they keep sort of writing these lies.
So you sound like our most anti-mask person yet.
I think it might be a different story when I go back to commuting, obviously, because my train obviously goes through Gatwick Airport as well. Yeah. So I will mask wear when I commute back, but I don't know when that'll be. For the moment, I'm kind of keeping my distance from everybody that I don't feel I need to wear one.
Well, Donna, tell you what, if you start going to the train station now to catch your train, because I know the way your train service runs, you should be in by about July.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I am missing my commute.
Really? What, you're missing being delayed every day for 2.5 hours?
I mean, if I just commuted once a month, but just for the lulz, just so I can take some snaps of unaware commuters.
Dave, I'll tell you what, you've got to see some of Donna's pictures of her commute every day. I've said to Donna before, I find myself in those positions, you know, in those situations on the train, and I really want to take a photograph. What's the technique? How can you get away with taking the photograph without someone noticing that you've actually taken the photograph?
So what is your technique of doing it? Because I have this debate with my son, Louis. They all get tense when I take pictures, when I'll point at what I want to do. It might be a person who's very close, and then look the other way and press the button so that I'm not looking at them.
I've got to be honest, Pav, I have stopped recently because there's quite a big sort of industry posse down here now. If I get on a train and do that, somebody will go, oh yeah, I know that, but it's like, oh shit.
Yeah,
I've stopped. I've kind of calmed down a bit. In the beginning, I was like, yeah, this is fun. And also it's a bit mean because I think, gosh, I wouldn't like, if sometimes I come home from a hard day's work and I'm probably falling asleep, it's like I'd be mortified if somebody posted that. So I've stopped. I've become a nicer person.
It's funny, the only other person from Brighton we've spoken to also was really missing their commute, which was Andy Jex.
Yeah, no, I love Jexy. I used to work with him and Potsy at Mother many years ago, but I wouldn't say I'm missing. I mean, I'm not going to gush about a dreadful, expensive, slow, horrendous commute, but I think it's the fact that I know at the other end of it, it's somewhere different and seeing people. So that's the level of missing my commute that I'll go to.
So Donna, how are you working at the moment? Are you working, and how
Absolutely.
Are you managing?
Absolutely. Do you know what I do?
Dave? No, we should tell you what you do. So yeah. What is your official title at Big Boy?
So I'm exec producer of Big Boy London and exec producer of Smoke and Mirrors London and Smoke and Mirrors Amsterdam.
Right.
Yes, we are working. So when we went into lockdown, obviously we had all our bookings in. So it was a very quick sort of turnaround to get everybody set up and working remotely. So all of our talent, so our online, offline, audio, grade, everybody was set up, and obviously all the producers.
So was that a big investment, Donna? Did you have to buy loads of kit to set
No, I don't think we did. I think the engineering team just worked wonders. I don't think we had to, I mean, you're asking the wrong person here. I'm not sure entirely if we had to spend money. All I know is it was incredibly quick and really efficient, and literally in the first week, at the end of the first week, I thought, God, it's just normal. You know, we were all set up. So yeah, we are all working and we are busy. I mean, obviously it's dropped off, of course it has, I'm sure, you know, because no one's filming. But you know, the beauty of Big Boy is that, you know, it's not just online, it's offline, audio, CG, and you know, we do everything. So yeah, we are, all of our talent are working, very much so.
So do you think you will take any lessons from this and change your working practices the other side?
Yes, I think everybody will.
Like what would you do differently?
Well, I mean, it's proved that obviously everybody can work from home, and you know, we're all coping with it and enjoying it. But I think, you know, everybody wants to be interacting with people. It's all very well a director sort of sitting from one screen to another, but you kind of, it's not an ideal way. We're coping with it, but I think I don't know how normal we're going to get back to. I can't see it for a long while.
Do you think that you'll have less investment in offices and building?
Do you know, obviously, the Starbucks. So we've got pretty much that whole sort of side going up to D'Arblay Street. You know, that's we've got big boy ends. Yeah.
Amazing.
So we've got so smoke and mirrors. I think there's about 350 in that side of things, and then there's about 60. I think in Big Boy. Yes, of course we're going to have to change our way of working. There'll have to be social distancing and you can't have 400 people back in that building. So it's up for discussion at the moment. But yes, it's going to be a very different way for sure.
Donna, if you could recommend something to people that they may not have seen that would fill some of their hours having gone through their Netflix playlists, what would you recommend?
Okay, well, I sort of listened to all the others and I think everyone was pretty much...
Have you taken up any advice from anyone who said maybe try this?
No, I haven't. I mean, Afterlife, Tiger King. I loved Unorthodox, but I know we don't need to talk about that because it's been discussed. But I watched a documentary drama on Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys and that was called Love and Mercy. And I loved that. And it's not something I would normally watch. So I'm sort of, you know, watching a lot of new things. I started to watch a lot of old films. I watched Groundhog Day and Lost in Translation the other day. I've started watching Mad Men again from the beginning. So I'm kind of really random. I start watching something and then think, oh, I know, I'm going to watch Sex and the City. And then, I know, I'm going to watch Mad Men. So my viewing is massively disorganised.
Do you get comfort viewing? A lot of people are watching older things. Like we spoke to someone the other day who was watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But I think there's a sort of bit of comfort in As Things Was. And
yeah, I mean, obviously it's really weird when you're looking at, I mean, I'm a big Coronation Street fan. And when I'm watching that now, it's like, how can they be at the bar together? And, you know, it's really weird seeing people not social distancing. But Mad Men I'm loving from the beginning. I forgot how great that was. And obviously it's so old now, but watching that from the beginning is really like a comfort.
Donna, do you like The Vicar of Dibley?
No, I don't really. I know of it, but it's not something I was...
Bob's desperately looking for another human being who also likes the...
Me and Billy like The Vicar of Dibley.
Where it ends.
But Bob, I would never have put you down as a Vicar of Dibley.
Exactly.
That's really nice to chuckle.
You'd imagine he'd be cooler than that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Totally cooler than that.
It's quite cool.
My estimation now.
So, do you clap on a Thursday, Donna?
Absolutely, yes. I was talking to a friend. I went for a social distance walk with a friend. So I don't know why I have to put the social distance. I went for a walk with a friend. And I said that, obviously, when it was, I think it was 9 weeks ago when the first one, I was a wreck when I came back indoors. I was really tearful and really overwhelmed by it. And then the second week, again, it was a bit emotional. The third week, people were out there with saucepans and it's like, it's not a fucking festival. We're clapping for the NHS. So I was a bit like, right, I'm not doing this anymore if people aren't taking it seriously. But then, yes, I go out and like, because it felt a bit weird as well, because I'm doing it on my own. So you sort of go out and you awkwardly smile at neighbours that you've never met before.
That's one of the things I quite like, that you see all the neighbours on your street that perhaps you don't. Yes. I mean, it's funny when you live on the same street, you sometimes don't see certain people coming out of their houses. So it's quite nice.
But very much so, yes, and I do enjoy it. And yesterday I actually sat in my garden and heard a different round of applause from the neighbours on the back of me. So I thought, I'm totally mixing this up a bit. I like it.
And have you seen any environmental benefits out there? I'm sure the sea hasn't changed, but any more animals or...?
Yes, I mean, certainly you can hear the seagulls a lot more. And the birds tweeting. The birds seem to be tweeting all day and all night. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like a sort of meditation app.
Donna, there's obviously a lot less people down there, so... Obviously, everyone that's out at the moment who are allowed out now are just locals. It doesn't feel like Brighton normally then, probably, does it?
No, because normally in May they have the Brighton Fringe Festival, so it's really vibrant and buzzy. They have the Great Escape music and they have, you know, street entertainment and open houses and, you know, the circus and live acts here and there. It's really, May is Brighton's most busiest, vibrant month, so it felt really, really odd thinking, oh, that's where the Spiegel tent would be and that's where that would be. So yes, it's felt very, very different and very, but it's not quiet. Brighton's never really quiet. You know, it's always quite busy, but definitely the lack of tourists you notice. You can tell that people are local rather than...
Does that feel like a good thing at the moment or a bad thing then?
I go through waves, actually. Sometimes I think it would be lovely to see the beach mobbed with foul people from other parts of the world. But then I think, actually, do you know what? I'm quite enjoying the peacefulness of it. And just I go for a walk or a bike ride early morning and it's blissful because it's so joyful because there's just no one around on the beaches. So, yeah, very mixed, really.
So have you attempted sourdough?
No, I have done banana bread. I'm constantly making things. I haven't done sourdough. No.
Would you rather open up the Premiership or pubs if you had an option?
Parv, what do you think?
You're not a Tottenham fan, are you?
I don't know what Premiership. No, I'm kidding. No, pubs.
Really, pubs. The Star and Garter.
Oh my goodness! I posted a picture the other day. I'm sure you saw it, Paul.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I just feel for poor little Don. I just imagine him being in there on his own, just like counting his money and missing everybody.
Well, it's funny, we spoke to Steve yesterday, Paskin, and the last time I saw him before lockdown was bought him a pint in the Star and Garter.
And also that pub, when we do go back, you can't social distance in that tiny little pub. I mean, it's going to be so different, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like a weird dream or some film you've watched, being in a sand outside a pub with a load of people. It doesn't seem real.
I know, you're absolutely right.
Paul, do you want to go with your loo roll question?
I like the way Dave always calls it my loo
roll. I'll try and hand it off to you.
It's the only one that I've written, Dave. You have to give me some credit. Yeah. Go on then, how many loo rolls have you got then?
Okay, I'm totally not going to be up in the higher end of the leaderboard here because it's just me and obviously a lot of people you've been interviewing have been doing families. But I always have a steady 8 or 9. I don't really like to get below 6. I do, however, have two. Mark Denton did a exhibition for his book launch at Big Boy, which I hosted for
him. Yeah, I was there.
And he very kindly gifted us some loo rolls to place in the bathrooms, and they've got tough sheet wrapping around them. So he gave me a couple of those, and they're in my bathroom. So however low I've got, I've always got a reserve of those two, but I want to keep them as a souvenir.
Absolutely, yeah, you can't use those. They were great.
Steady 8 or 9 I've got on the go. Before I came on this call, I counted and I've got 7, so I'm running a little bit low.
That would have been horrible. Can you imagine running out and having to use Mark Denton's loo roll?
Yeah, that'd be a crime.
Yeah. So are you drinking more or less alcohol?
Very much less. Honestly, I'm a social drinker. I've got a fully... I will send you a photograph, Parv, afterwards, of my fully stocked drinks cabinet, barely touched. I don't drink. I go on a Zoom call with my girls on a Friday night and I'll have a G&T or an Aperol, but very, very rarely drinking throughout this because it's just, I like to drink with friends.
So have you done any DIY?
Tomorrow I'm actually going to paint my outside gate flamingo pink, and I've been doing a lot of gardening. I'm not really DIY-y. No, is the answer.
Painting flamingo pink is DIY, Dave, I think.
We can count that as DIY. So why flamingo is such a precise colour and an unusual colour for a gate? Why flamingo because pink?
I'm out in my front sort of courtyard. I've got like AstroTurf and these lovely little plants out there, and I thought, do I want to go vibrant? Do I want to just go back to a nice sort of, you know, wood colour? And I thought, no, I'm going to go flamingo pink, and I think it will just look really lovely with all the green and stuff outside.
Flamingo pink is our colour. It's the Wave and Dave Pantone that we use. So.
Oh, I like that. Great. Yeah. Do I get a prize for that?
It's in the post.
Okay, thank you.
So we're just doing a table on this. We put out some data yesterday, some tables with...
Oh, I saw that, yes.
Did you see those? Yeah, were there any shocks in those tables?
No, because I saw that and I suddenly thought, oh, it looks like they finished doing the series of this, and I was a bit gutted because I'm really, really enjoying them.
Oh, really? That's very kind. No, it's just a sort of halfway point to see who's leading and where people are at. But one of the tables we're trying to crack is, who would you have take control of the pandemic, Donald Trump or Joe Exotic? Do you know Joe Exotic? We just spoke to somebody who didn't.
Yeah, so. No question, Joe Exotic.
Okay.
We can ask you if you've seen an ad on TV whilst you've been watching Coronation Street that you think is really good or bad. And by the way, Donna, I like Coronation Street as well.
Oh, brilliant. Oh,
building up a good picture. Coronation Street, straight onto the Vicar of Dibley. Bit of Mrs. Brown's Boys next, and then bedtime.
Okay, what the ads I saw, and I didn't see it during Coronation Street, but I saw it when I looked on David's reviews this morning. It really was very moving and beautifully done. It was for Protect Our Protector, so it's PPE for the healthcare workers. I don't know if either of you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, no.
So basically, it's a doctor talking to her unborn baby about COVID. It's done in the style of almost like a goodbye letter in case she doesn't get to meet him or her.
Oh, I have seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and the baby's obviously going to be born during the pandemic, but she made a video showing her favourite places and people, explaining when the baby arrives that people are dying and what the world is at war, and basically talking about the key workers. It was really beautifully done, and you know, obviously there's a lot of ads sort of in this similar, but I just found it very moving and very beautiful and very sad, so that's why I wanted to share.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
You've been brilliant.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Thanks again, Donna.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Paul. Nice to meet you, Dave.
See you later. Bye.